Audio Guide, Yeguamea Waterfall and Fuente Manapites. Introduction. Throughout the history of the Earth, and due to the different geological processes, some changes have appeared in the sea level that have located our area both above and under this level repeatedly. The evidence of this phenomenon is given by the different materials that we come across. The prevailing rocks in the geopark are the limestones and marls derived from carbonated sediments deposited in the bottom of the warm seas that once spread in our region during the Upper Cretaceous, about 90 million years ago. The forces of the Earth and the water have shaped these rocks over the time, originating two distinctive types of relief. The hanging wall synclines, or loras, formed out of great rock folds such as Peña Ulaña, Peña Maya, or Peña Castro, and the karst, formed by erosion and dissolution in the cases of Pozo de los Aceites, Manapites Spring, and Yeguamea Waterfall. 1. Our route starts at the church of Fuente Odra, named after the nearby source of the river Odra. At this point, we can see a sample of the materials, sand, conglomerate and clay, by huge rivers crossing what is now the geopark, deposited more than 100 million years ago during a period in Earth history called Upper Cretaceous. The size of the materials deposited depends on the strength of the water flow at any time. As a result, one can see fine-grained clay, which may look grayish if the stream is gentle, or sandstones with white or yellowish tones if it becomes stronger. And finally, large grained conglomerates that may show up as round-shaped fragments of clear rocks embedded in an ochre matrix. 2. At the beginning of the Upper Cretaceous, some 95 million years ago, the sea encroached progressively this area, burying the rivers little by little, as well as the materials that they had deposited. This period marks the start of the marine sedimentation of carbonated muds. These muds housed and fed many marine organisms, which left a record of their activity by means of their remnants and fossilized imprints, which we can see at present in the limestone rock. The phenomenon whereby the sea invades the continent is known as marine transgression and results in a variation of materials ranging from the conglomerates and sands that we saw in the previous stop deposited by the rivers to the limestone rocks that we are now noticing common among marine deposits. In the cliffs, we can see small yellow-orange marks called bioturbations. They are alterations of the sediments produced by the action of living beings that once dwelled in the muds of the seabeds 95 million years ago. They are commonly channels with a diameter of 1 to 2 centimeters. It is not uncommon for these organisms to segregate mucus, which makes the walls stronger, preventing them from deterioration. Eventually, the abandoned channels are filled up with different materials, which give them their distinctive aspect. 3. When the sea recedes again and the materials fold and become eroded due to geological activity, some inclined platforms are originated. They are called structural plains. During the oceanic period, limestones and marls are alternatively deposited, being the former ones more resistant to erosion. In the aftermath, during the Alpine orogeny, 35 million years ago, the deposited materials underwent great foldings and the subsequent erosion. Since Mars are less cohesive, they go through a more serious wear, so that stronger limestone layers remain highlighted as inclined platforms, the so-called structural planes. From this spot, we can also see Yeguamea waterfall. If we look at the trees to the right of the waterfall, we can notice that in the lower zones with acidic soils, on a basis of siliceous materials, sand and clay, and mild weather conditions, there are woodlands made up of a type of oak, locally known as rebollo, Carcus pyrenaica, with lobed velvety leaves. Upwards, on the limestones and marls with basic soils, the predominant oak is the quejigo, Carcus faginea, whose leaves display crumpled blades, not too broad, sometimes even sharp. 4. Pozo de los Aceites. The surface water molds the rock on its way, and before falling into the hole, it has dug an incipient canyon in the hard limestone. As a curious fact, we can point out that the filtered water accumulated in the limestone and marls of the whole geopark is over 10 billion cubic meters. That is more than the capacity of all the reservoirs located in the Duero basin, which in turn is among the most important ones in the Iberian Peninsula. Karstic relief stands out by the process of dissolution in the limestone rocks, though water alone cannot erode the calcium carbonate that makes up the limestone rock. The origin of these peculiar shapes, distinctive of karstic relief, lies in carbonatation, a special type of dissolution that takes place when the atmospheric carbon dioxide reacts with water, becoming carbonic acid, which will eventually react with the limestone and dissolve it. This bit is named after the green, oily color of the water at the bottom. On the way to the next stop, and as we watch the ground carefully, we can discover some horseshoe-shaped prints due to the activity of living beings. They are a type of grooves dug by some kinds of marine invertebrates. Their shape has inspired legends, like the one which tells the way St. James the Apostle killed a great snake that used to live in Pozo del Corral, our next stop. According to this legend, these marks are his horse's footprints. 5. Pozo del Corral. This stop is called Pozo del Corral. On the surface, we can see rock flora as well as grooves shaped by limestone dissolution. They are lapias, also called locally lapiaz or lenar. This lapiaz or lenar is a set of little grooves of cavities carved in the rock by the action of water. It is one of the geomorphological elements of karstic relief. Another characteristic is the runiform relief, which originates fanciful shapes in the limestone rocks, similar to constructions in ruins, such as the one of Las Tuerces, packed with alleys, caves and tunnels. We can see rock plants growing in the cliffs with very scarce nutrients. This type of plant is adapted to extreme climatic conditions and to a lack of developed soil. The most abundant in this area is the Rhamnus pumila, a non-prickly deciduous shrub with tortuous branches stuck tightly on the wall. Its leaves are oval or elliptical. As for the flowers, they are greenish. Its fruits turn blackish or reddish when ripening. 6. Fuente Manapites. This spot has been given this name, Fuente Manapites, after the water which bubbles out with such a force that it permanently moves the pebbles inside and polishes them. On its way down, the stream falls onto the nearby La Hoya waterfall. Manapites is an intermittent spring. On the way to the next stop, Iguamea waterfall, the water flows along a riverbed lined by the characteristic riverside vegetation, willows, poplars and ashes, with the Salix cantabrica outstanding among them. It is a shrub that can be up to 3 meters high, with dark branches and sharp-tipped lanceolate leaves, which resists floods. 7. Yeguamea waterfall. In the snow-melting season, or just after a period of heavy rainfalls, the filtered water collected by the limestone plateau finds its way to the outside, making up this waterfall. Two more minor sprouts emerge on both sides. They are called los potrillos, the foals. The route goes on after these springs. Springs are distinctive elements of karst relief. The water from rainfalls seeps into the plateau through the rifts of the limestone rock and forms underground rivers, which dissolve its molding caverns and galleries. It merges outside in the form of springs like manapites or waterfalls, as in the case here, creating such a beautiful landscape. 8. On the way back, we can admire three of the most important loras, tablelands, of the geopark. To the left, Peña Ulaña, and to the right, Peña Maya and Peña Castro, with the view of the church of Fuente Odra lying between them. The loras are hanging wall synclines, a geological structure that gives our geopark its name. They are huge elevations, both long and narrow. The top is a limestone moor with upper Cretaceous materials. They were originated out of a great rock fault during the Alpine orogeny, 35 million years ago, and after a subsequent intense erosion, which mainly affected the anticlines, A-shaped faults, causing them to disappear. As for the synclines, U-shaped faults, since they are more resistant, they remain amazingly at a higher altitude than the surrounding ground, and they are thus called hanging synclines.